So welcome everybody to this Sweet Spot Coaching call. And in case you are wondering, this is not Dr. Rita Marie, this is Lynn. Dr. Rita Marie is in Italy right now visiting her son. And so that piece of wonderful chocolate cheesecake that you saw was one that she had when she, on the Facebook group, was one she had while she was out there. Her son had scoped out all the places and found her a place that did raw vegan food. So she was really happy for that. And actually, you're not muted, Lisa. At least on my end, you're not muted. I'm just looking at your chat. And so she asked, because she didn't want all of you to go a long period of time without having this chance to ask questions and support each other. And so I agreed to host this call, but I am so happy that I'm doing it with some of our wonderful coaches that we have within the Sweet Spot group and doing the personalized coaching. So today we have Susan Desmarais, Annette Falconet, and Lisa Pilaudi. And I know Isabel was trying to get on as well, but so I will start with Susan. Susan, can you just briefly introduce yourself for us?
Yeah. Am I unmuted?
You are.
Okay, yeah. I am a yoga teacher here in Boston. And let's see, I got into this realm of work out of passion for my parents. Both of them have had some long-term health problems. My mother's ended up with dementia. And I could see myself and my siblings going down the same path. So I decided to take a different route and learned a lot. And so I'm a coach in the Sweet Spot and also an intern coach with Lisa in the ERC program. It's nice to be here, everybody. Lynn?
I had muted myself because I was coughing. Sorry. So thank you. Thank you. I just so totally and thoroughly appreciate you and the experience you bring to everybody here. There's such a depth to it because of that passion that you bring to it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Let's see. I think that might be Isabel. All right. So let's go with Annette.
All right. Hi, this is Annette.
Yes.
I first got into nutrition back in 88. When I developed multiple chemical sensitivities, I found Dr. Rita Marie a couple years ago when looking for some answers for my daughter who had a health crisis and was diagnosed as type 1 diabetic. And like Susan, I'm a Sweet Spot coach, and I'm also doing the internship on the ERC. And it's great to be here. Looking forward to helping you guys out. Thanks.
Thanks, Annette. And like you said, just all the knowledge you've gained by helping your daughter is, we're being blessed by it. I am so grateful for all the resources and experience you bring to support these people.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. And let's see. Here she is. Isabel.
Hi. Hi, everyone. This is Isabel Yang. And I started my health journey in 2008, and because a couple of my family members actually died of cancer, my sister-in-law at the age of 42, so that's what inspired me. And I am also a coach for the Energy Recharge Program for Dr. Rita Marie, and I really love to see how I can empower people to help them make a commitment and take a step toward their health and everything there in their life gets better when they have their health. So happy to be here.
I'm very happy to have you too. I know Lisa was saying she was having a hard time talking. Lisa, I have your line open. I can hear you.
Oh, you can hear me? Okay, good. Great. Fantastic. Hi, I'm Lisa, and I'm based in Switzerland, and I'm really happy to be here supporting you all. My journey with health and nutrition has been a lifelong passion and interest, and I started off my journey with public health nutrition oriented towards developing countries, and then I retrained and did a degree in clinical nutrition. And what's important about it is that I really found that could really help people through addressing their diet, starting with blood sugar. So I'm really glad that you guys are here, because that's one of the foundational things that has to be addressed and in place in order for us to have optimal health.
Great. Thank you so much. Well, I wanted everybody to hear who it was that was addressing you, and wanted you to feel confident and secure that the information that we were sharing with you comes from a place of understanding and education. We've all been trained by Dr. Rita Marie. So with that being said, I will start right in. I'm going to start with the question put in before the call in the Q&A. And then we'll just spend a little time discussing each one. So the first one comes from Laura. And she said, my blood sugar seems to be high quite often, can start around 96 to 107. Then when I eat, it can be 114 to 140, the highest. Yesterday for lunch, I had a salad with a little wild salmon and some nuts. 3 hours later, I felt a bit lightheaded, so I checked my blood sugar. It was 110. I'm wondering what has been raising my blood sugar. Could it be almonds and other nuts? Could it also be vegetables and salads? I also have the One Touch Ultra Mini and heard that others don't have accurate readings. Do I need to purchase another meter at this time? Funds are a bit tight now. Also, how do I know for sure if I am hypoglycemic? I was told I was as a child, but can't I outgrow this if I eat the foods that are helpful for me? Lastly, I have SIBO, so I am sure this is playing a part with my blood sugar. Not sure what to eat anymore. Even the green smoothies at times raises my blood sugar. So there's lots of questions and information in there. Who would like to start? And if before you talk, if you could, at least in the beginning, say who it is so people can hear, since they can't see us.
Lynn, it's Susan. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. We had something similar to this on the bonus call the other night.
Yep. It is a different person.
It is a different person. Okay, so back to the same questions, right? We're talking fasting blood sugar, and is she taking that fasting blood sugar the moment she wakes up or, you know, an hour after she wakes up? And then the other question is, how well is she sleeping?
Mm-hmm.
So I start with a couple of questions.
Right. So I'm assuming Laura will be listening to this afterwards, since she put the question in ahead of time. And this is good for everybody to hear. When we see these things, it's a great time to just take that breath and go, okay, let's kind of backtrack or forward track, however you want to. What did my day start out like? Did the alarm go off and jolt me out of bed? Did I get up and do a few things? You know, what did I do before I took that fasting blood sugar? When you get up, do you do those 30 seconds of burst exercise, as Dr. Rita Marie had recommended. Are you drinking the gut rejuvenator, the lemon water? And I'm not sure if you're in the reset. When people are in the reset, we encourage you to already have tested the foods individually so you know which foods raise your blood sugar and which ones do not. Anyway, so that will be my input so far.
So I wanted to add that if she also asked if, this is Isabel, she also asked if she's hypoglycemia. And you would need to test your blood sugar every hour. That's what's the recommended by Dr. Rita Marie, every hour up until the next meal. So you see how low your blood sugar dips without food. And if the spread of the glucose reading is wide, then that may be an indication of hypoglycemia.
Right. And so we've talked about the very first thing in the morning, and then the other piece to that is you do it right before you eat, right after you eat, every 15 minutes up to an hour if that's possible, but you should test it at least once or twice in between that first hour. And then, like Isabel says, every hour until your next meal, just to have that. And that should be indicated in your glucose tracking sheet, which you can find in your Foundations module.
Lynn, it's Susan again. This also goes back to tracking and seeing patterns.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Right. Is she tracking? Is she seeing patterns? Is she seeing the relationship through the patterns to things that she's eating or doing?
Right, exactly. And knowing which of those individual foods, could it be almonds and other nuts? It could be. Are you testing the individual nuts? You know, the things with nuts and seeds is can affect your liver where everything, especially the hormones, process through. I don't have an answer for the meter question, not having tested the One Touch Ultimini myself.
Well, there has been other questions regarding that. It's Susan again. And, you know, I think that when you track and you see patterns, if the meter's off a little bit, that part of it kind of doesn't matter, but it's more about the pattern.
Right. Exactly. Thank you. So,
Lynn,
I guess,
like Susan said, we had the similar question the other day, and we also talked about, are you staying hydrated? Is that full effect? And stress levels and activity level. You know, good stress and bad stress can raise your levels also. It's not necessarily food.
Right. And, you know, she had a sentence in there talking about funds. So you have stress with what you're eating. You have other stresses in your life. Lots of opportunities to practice mini vacations.
Right.
So that's a great point. You know, how are you? Are you chewing your food? Are you eating in as stressless or stress an environment as possible? Great point. Okay, so the next question is also from Laura. She says, does our blood types affect our blood sugar and what we eat? I am type O and was told I need to eat meat. I do feel a bit better with a little bit of animal protein, but also feel pretty good eating veggies with some nuts and at other times. How truthful is the blood type diet in your opinion? I was a partial vegetarian many years ago and thought I was a blood type A, but my hair started falling out and I felt weak and out of sorts. Looking back, it could have been from my hormones as well. I'm stuck in the middle, not sure if I should continue with small amounts of animal protein or go vegetarian. currently with SIBO, it is difficult to be vegetarian due to not being able to have any starches, grains, beans, etc. So, thoughts?
This is Annette, and I'm a meat eater in the crowd. If you feel better, I'll just disclose. I was vegetarian for like 20 years, but I never felt really well. So, you know, I did start putting some meat back in the diet, and I think it all goes back to how you feel and, you know, when you test your blood sugar, what happens?
Yep. That's why one of the things I appreciate with Dr. Rita Marie is she doesn't follow any diet dogma. So it's how do you feel, and in this case, what does your body tell you when you test your blood sugar? If your body's under stress because it's not getting what it needs, then you need to give it what it needs.
This is Lisa. In terms of the blood type diet, there's a lot of thought about that, whether you know the A type is more plant-based, the O type needs more meat. But again, it's not really scientifically proven. If you feel better on the type of diet that you're on, then I would follow what your body's saying. But it sounds like you have a lot of imbalances historically, with your hair was falling out, or maybe you are not eating in a balanced way, or maybe you weren't giving your body all the nutrients it needed. So even if you're a meat eater, you can have imbalances, or if you are a purely plant-based person, you can have imbalances if you don't eat in a balanced way. In terms of SIBO, then if you're on a low FODMAP type diet, then you're going to be cutting out a lot of food. So when you're on a restricted kind of diet, you better be very careful that you get nutrients in, and also if you and not to be overly restricted for a long period of time. Like the low FODMAP diets, they're not meant to be a lifelong thing, they're meant to be like 4 to 6 weeks, because they are imbalanced, because you will be devoid of all nutrients. So maybe you need to look a bit deeper into your digestive tract when you finish this program. I think that, you know, if you feel better, having protein is very important in balancing blood sugar. And then the choosing the type of protein would be up to you to see what you tolerate the best. I think all the research that we have out there, so we're going to talk about research now, is that plant-based diets have a lot of health benefits. And then if you then combine it with the animal or plant-based protein that your body copes with, and it would be, and then, of course, the healthy fats, then you'll have a balanced, healthy diet.
Okay. Laura has another question. Wanted to know what pea protein you use, as I heard most pea protein and some other protein powders are high in heavy metals and are made in China. I'm looking for a pea protein low in heavy metals and made in the USA. Do you know any? And the coaches are doing a wonderful job. Yay! Okay. Anybody have any suggestions?
Designs for Life has a pea protein.
Yep.
And Designs for Life is a really good brand, or a very good company. And and I think that most of their their products are great, and I believe their pea protein is organically grown in North America.
I use also has pea protein. It's by a company that's out of America. It's called Puradyne, Puradyme. And it is plant-based. It's raw vegan. They're what they call a living protein powder. And it has all the amino acids in it. As far as the ingredients, it has pea protein, hemp protein, goji berry, Jerusalem artichoke, FOS, protease, and Acidophilus probiotic. So that's the one that I use. But Designs for Health, like you said, is a great, great one.
I
believe
use
Sun Warriors also does.
Yeah.
Doesn't Okay, sorry.
Sun Warrior, yeah. That's what I was going to say. Sun Warrior has a good, very simple one. Yeah. And it has, let me see, it has chia, it has tea, it has like five ingredients in their protein.
Does it have hemp and cranberry?
It has cranberry, and it's very simple. So that's the one that I mostly recommend because it's very simple.
Yep.
And
I go back and forth between that organic. And
yeah.
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 That's
and I also use thorn. Yeah.
I think that's a good point. Rotating whatever protein powders you're using is a good thing to do.
Exactly. So that's why I kind of go back and forth between the Sun Warrior and the Pyridyme. I guess I did not realize that Thorn had a protein powder.
Yeah, Thorn does. They do have a couple different ones, and some are very high in helping people to detoxify. They have that ingredient, that substance, which comes from broccoli sprouts.
Oh, yeah.
That help
okay.
with the detoxification. So they have a few different vegans. Some are vegan and some are whey, but they do have a vegan option.
Right. Yeah, and those broccoli sprouts are really good if you're doing any type of liver detox. Okay. Anybody else on that one? All right. Allison says, okay, go ahead. Sorry.
I put some links for all the ones that we just talked about, and I included raw life protein as well.
Okay, great. Thank you. I was going to try to do that, but it's just not going to work for me at this venture to do both, so I appreciate you doing that. Allison says, I'm a bit confused about digestive enzymes and digestive bitters. What is the difference, and in which case would I take what? Currently having apple cider vinegar before lunch, my main meal of the day, and lemon water early morning. Could you explain how all these fit together in their different roles? Thank you.
This is Lisa. Digestive bitters, they stimulate the secretion of digestive or gastric juices, so hydrochloric acid, and then the digestive enzymes themselves that the body produces. And digestive enzyme is something you take with your food. So the bitters you take 5 to 15 minutes before you eat to stimulate the gastric secretion. And then digestive enzymes you would take with your meal. So I usually say, you know, take a few bites or a third of the way into the meal, and that helps you digest the meal that you've just eaten.
Correct.
And the lemon juice and the apple cider vinegar, they would also play the role of stimulating gastric juices and also liver support. So it all sort of fits in because the liver produces bile, and bile is necessary for the digestion of fat. So just gets everything moving.
Yep. Perfect. You pass. Allison says, also, even though I'm used to a plant-based diet and have been vegetarian for over 40 years, I'm finding that eating massive amounts of greens and not much else other than nuts and seeds is giving me loose and frequent motions. Any suggestions?
Sorry, is giving her what?
She says frequent motions. In other words, her bowel movements.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So she mentions just eating massive amounts of greens.
Mm-hmm.
So that leads me to ask, what other vegetables are you eating? I mean, it's great to eat a lot of leafy green vegetables, but there's a whole rainbow of foods that you can choose from that can provide some of that extra fiber that's necessary to kind of bind your stool a little more.
Yeah, that's what's kind of my thoughts, if she's having enough fiber. Like chia would be a great choice.
That's perfect. Yeah, great, great. Anybody else anything to add?
Yeah, the chia would be good, or whole flax seeds. And then maybe, is it cooked or is it raw? And make sure you're chewing well. But yeah, adding some whole chia or flax seed should slow down the movement through the bowel.
And I would still soak the flax seed, because otherwise they can expand in your tract and actually create some type of constipation. I personally just make sure I soak them for a little bit, kind of along with my chia seeds. They don't get gelatinous like chia, but they do swell, and then it takes less moisture out of your body.
And
okay,
if it has been going for a while, then I wonder if the colon is reabsorbing the water.
Mm. Oh, that's a good thought. Yeah. So you're saying
that if the loose wool, yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, Susan. That's a good question. Is about how long has it been going on? Are the hands really loose? You know, because it sounds like something going on in the gut.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, that question also again is how long. You know, you say eating massive. So is it just since doing the 30-day reset? Is it since you started the program? So has it been 2 months? Is it just being the last couple of weeks? Because when we change things, which, you know, like you said, you've been vegetarian, but you're eating more greens. So your body's being asked to adjust and adapt to this. And sometimes, and you'll see that in your bowel movements, either its frequency or consistency, color, things like that. And so it's trying to tell you something. It may be, I love those greens, but maybe not so much. I need something else in there. And so it's just another way to tune back into your body and saying, oh, okay, what else do I need to give you? Am I staying hydrated well enough? All those lovely questions. She also asks, in one of the modules, Dr. Rita Marie said that the recommendation to eat protein within 30 minutes of getting up was partly because for many people, cortisol may be high. I'm curious to know, how does the protein work to affect the cortisol?
Sorry, can you repeat the question? I didn't.
I would love to, you bet. In one of the modules, Dr. Rita Marie said that the recommendation to eat protein within 30 minutes of getting up was partly because for many people, cortisol may be high. I'm curious to know, how does the protein work to affect the cortisol?
Well, the protein works to balance the blood sugar. So we often say have protein 30 minutes before, or 30 minutes after waking. Because when you're having your high stress person and maybe your cortisol levels are chronically high, we would like to make sure that, and high cortisol also dumps sugar or glucose into the blood. So when you eat and you eat a high protein meal, it helps bring down glucose levels, which will hopefully also over time bring down cortisol levels. So it's indirectly through glucose levels. Does that make sense?
Makes sense to me. Anybody else want to chime in on that one? Okay, Marcia says, I know it's not all about weight loss, but I am curious about this. With Brightline Eating, I released 6 pounds per month for the first 2 months of January and February, then started Sweet Spot, and in March I was down an additional 5.8 pounds. Then I started the Metabolic Reset April 1st, and I'm down only 2.6 pounds in 2016. I still have another 40 I want to donate. Why would my weight loss have stalled when I'm repairing? For all but about 4 days of the reset, my blood sugar has been below 110 and often even below 100. I am sleeping better, appreciating more. Stress has been intense with sick dog and now a tooth problem for me, but doing heart math and meditation, moving more, I am confused. I know I have a few thoughts, but I want to hear what everybody else here says first.
Well, I think that the body releases things in layers, and you're going into a deeper place in healing your body. And it may just be hanging on, a little bit longer. I can't explain scientifically the reason, but just spiritually, I feel like it's the body's going to release when it's ready to release. You have put all the right keys into place. Your blood sugar sounds pretty good. I think this has happened to other people in the program where they get, they're not dropping the weight, but then they get beyond the metabolic reset and suddenly it drops. So the body will release it when it's ready to release it if you have all the right things in place.
Right. And she gave some key clues in here. One is with, so she has had some stress with her dog being sick and then her tooth. So you have some stress going on in there, which is going to contribute to that blood sugar issue. But just like you said, it's a process. Weight is only one tool of measurement, and it's just based, in my mind, it just weighs that gravity load that you carry. There are other tools that you can use to define your health, which is the most important piece here. And so you've got your blood sugar, which is telling you amazing things about what you're doing. You're sleeping better. That's another amazing tool. And so, let's look at what you're doing right and all the wonderful things that are happening. And as you concentrate on those pieces, lo and behold, as Susan was saying, the other pieces, as their time comes and as that layer is ready, will release itself. So I encourage you to love yourself right where you're at and know that you are in the perfect place right now for what your body needs. Continue to love it right where it's at. I know that all sounds lovely and everything, but I read your post on the Facebook group. I know you are doing the steps that you can. So just love yourself.
Lynn, this is Annette. Marcia also commented that during this period she's been under a lot of stress. So back to what Susan says, her body could just be holding on. Maybe
Yeah, exactly. And so just rest with that and allow it to, allow it to fix itself through that. I have found that when we let go, that's actually when the healing happens. It's not during the work, it's during the rest. So, completely agree.
Before we go to the next, I just wanted to say, before we go to the next question, or I don't know if this question has been answered, I just put a link in the chat about an article that was mentioned, because some people have been asking about the heavy metals in protein supplements, so I put a link in the chat
an article that said the, you know, the worst and the best protein plan. So.
Right. Thank you. I really appreciate that. Montserrat says, can you go briefly over the gut repair program? Also, I did not see any recommendations for antimicrobials for SIBO. Is there any? I have not found the sweet spot SIBO-friendly list of foods. Okay, let's see. So the gut repair, if you haven't found it yet, it's in your bonus area. I'm going to go find my copy of it real quickly.
Yeah, it's in a bonus.
Yeah. Where did it go? Right here. There it is. Okay, so the sweets, yeah, if you look at the bonuses and resource tab and hover your cursor over that, you'll see where it says gut repair bundle. And what's included in that are downloads. There's a digestive function assessment, a candida assessment, a leaky gut assessment, a SIBO assessment. There's the 30-day leaky gut detox and intestinal repair protocol. There's a happy belly checklist, which is a list of foods that hurt your gut and foods that are more friendly to your gut. There's recipes. There's 22 gut-soothing recipes in there. There's the gut rejuvenator recipe. There's the what she calls her boot camp for bowels. It has to do with improving your elimination organs. And then there's the modified specific carbohydrate diet food list. So it's an amazing, I mean, there is so much value in that gut repair bundle. And then she was also asking about the SIBO list, and I'm going to double check, but I thought it was under the deep dive of module 2, so I'm going to double check there real quick. Yep, there it is. So it's action plan number 9. There's two pieces to it. There's the first download is just going over SIBO and some of the steps and recommendations, and then there's the diet guidelines. So again, that is in module 2, and it's in, when you hover your cursor over that, the drop-down box, the very last piece is nutrition deep dive steps. So that's where you're going to find the SIBO piece. So this, I know you all are familiar with the GRAND program and the gut repair downloads. Do you have anything to talk about that?
Well, I mean, the metabolic reset would be a pretty good place to start to reset your gut as well, because
absolutely.
So I don't know where this person is along the metabolic reset, but usually the foods that have been raising our blood sugar may also be eliciting some kind of reaction in the gut too, oftentimes.
Yep.
So you're doing the right thing. It's a good place to start.
Absolutely. Okay, let's see. Barbara says, what should I do concerning my weight? Now I am down to weighing 51 kilograms. And I'm not sure what that is in pounds. And my friends tell me, please don't lose any more weight. I am 1.64 centimeters tall. Second question is, I had leg cramps already last year, which went away at some point, I guess because the supplements I took. Now they have come back already before starting the sweet spot, slightly, but are getting worse and worse, even if I am taking the magnesium recommended. Taking also potassium citrate doesn't seem to make a difference. So,
well, in terms of the leg cramps, maybe you need to increase your dose or what kind, I mean, or change the kind of, if you're on a magnesium glycinate product, Barbara, I think is in, if I remember correctly, is she's from in England, if that's correct.
Yes. Yeah, she was on one of our other sweet spot bonus calls.
Yeah, yeah. So you can get magnesium glycinate, various different kinds, various different brands. And in terms of the weight, I would just, you know, make sure that you eat frequently enough and maybe start adding foods back in if you're finished with the reset to avoid more weight loss.
That is one thing Dr. Rita Marie has told people, that if they are too, and I'm not, again, I'm not sure how much 51 kilograms is in terms of, but if you are too thin, she said it's fine to go ahead and eat more frequently and adding things like MCT oil.
Yeah. 51 kilograms is about 112 pounds, and she'd be really quite slim. It's about, 5.
And what is 1.64 centimeters?
About 5'4 or 5'5.
Yeah. Oh. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, and add in more avocado, chia seed, flax seed, a little bit more, omega 3.
And for the leg cramp, you can actually put magnesium oil on topically.
Bingo, or magnesium lotion, whatever you can find. If you're in London, you'll be able to find that.
Yeah. And they'll have it at Revital. You can, anyway, any of the health food shops or any of the shops that sell supplements. And you can also try magnesium baths using magnesium salts in the bath.
Yeah, completely agree. Yeah, the magnesium or Epsom salt baths have been really helpful for me as well. Let's see, what else we got here? Bev says, I can't recall. Did you say earlier in the program that the supplements may affect hot flashes at night, especially if I also take thyroid medication? I have just been noticing over the last few weeks, I get really hot during the evening more than I used to.
Well, have you changed your thyroid? Has she had her thyroid measured? And maybe it's a good idea to have your thyroid measured and then to see if you need to adjust your medication. Because sometimes when you're on a program like this and then there, one of the health benefits are maybe it would have supported your thyroid. So I wouldn't say to reduce your medication without consulting your doctor, but for sure have your thyroid tested.
And then, again, knowing what your nutrients are, for example, with hot flashes, you know, vitamin E is an important nutrient to make sure you have, and you can get that in sunflower seeds, for example. And so there's little pieces here that you can find out for yourself. Trying to remember, I think you have access to the nutrient assessment. So you might want to take that and see where your nutrients are at. More of that information. Yeah.
Oh, sorry to interrupt. Sometimes we get hot flashes when our blood sugar becomes imbalanced. So when it goes up and then it goes back down again. So it would be a good idea to check your glucose then to see what was going on and then figure out what you ate beforehand.
Yeah. You know, I'm actually going back to Barbara's. Something else that came to my brain was about calcium. Because if you don't have adequate calcium absorption, or you may have a calcium deficiency, that can help with, that could be something to do those muscle cramps, since calcium is involved in muscle contractions and those nerve impulses. And then along with that is vitamin D, because that regulates the absorption of calcium. So that was something else that I just thought of. along with the magnesium and the potassium that she was saying she was taking. So sorry for my segue there.
Well, okay, just make sure that she that Barbara has K2.
Yep.
With any vitamin D, or if in case of taking calcium, because a true vitamin D helps the absorption of calcium, but K2 makes sure that the calcium goes to the bones and doesn't get deposited elsewhere that we wouldn't want.
Exactly. Exactly. And it came to my thought when I was realizing, oh, she's in England and it's not as sunny as it might be in other places. So, okay, Annie says, I want to find out about personal coaching. Was unable to start the SP. Not sure.
Sweet spot.
Well,
sweet.
Yeah, it's, yeah, okay, because it just was capital S, capital P. So I was like, So what is available and what are the costs? So, Annie, I have your email address. I will send you all that information. And for those, if anybody is interested still in doing that, I would actually email helpdesk@drritamarie.com. And then she'll make sure, and I'll send her a note just in case anybody sends in, and so she'll let me know. Emily says, I am wondering about flaxseed. There is chatter about the toxicity. The easy become toxic. Any suggestions on where to get flax seeds that are fresh, organic, and have not turned? Well, my first thought is if they're fresh, I would suggest not to buy those that are already ground, because they will go rancid faster. You can buy it, and if you buy more than you're going to use, let's say in a month's time, keep it in the freezer. But otherwise, always keep it refrigerated. Again, this is where soaking it and getting it more mucilaginous is going to be helpful. So that, and I don't know where you live. Well, she says San Diego. Isabel, there you go.
I get my flaxseed just at the store, actually Sprouts. And like you said, I don't buy them grounded. I ground myself and I put them in the fridge to make sure that they're fresh. And I just make sure that it's organic, whichever flaxseed brand that I come across with, just make sure it's organic flaxseed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And avoid buying from the bin. You don't know how long it's been there.
Yeah.
So I usually just get the packaged one. At least they're airtight. Right, they're not, the bin's not being opened up all the time, and the whole flaxseed, and put them in the fridge, like you said, in the freezer.
Right. Vera says, I can hear everything, but I can't start chat to ask questions. And I know you guys are on the chat more than I am. Has anybody seen anything from Vera? So when you, I don't know how you're listening, Vera. Let me see. I can go over here and see if Vera's on here.
Lynn, it's Susan. I don't see anything from Vera.
Oh, I see her. She is on web call. So you should, on the right-hand side see towards, you should see a column on the right-hand side as you're looking at your computer. That, and again, I'm assuming you're on a computer like a laptop or something versus an iPad, but there should be a column on the right hand side where you put your name in and the chat should show up. Okay, and then Vera asks, was the bonus on thyroid health released in the bonuses module? I don't think it has been. I will send a note to our program manager to see what the release date of that is. And we'll make sure that as soon as it is, you'll be notified. And okay, so that's it from the Q&A. I'm just going to swing over to the chat real quick and see if I can't get a few of them. Jenny Diaz says, I cannot attend this call, wondering about a strange effect. It seems that a lot of the time I am experiencing slow peeing. I have experienced this before, I think, when I had waited too long to go and feels like only comes out slowly and in trickles, but I am now getting this effect without waiting too long. So she wants to know what's up with that. Does anybody, and it does, she does appear to have lost approximately 10 to 12 pounds so far. She loves the horse. As long as I remember, I think these have a huge effect. Okay, so that's all from Jenny.
When I read that, my inclination is Lisa. I was wondering if she was drinking enough. And just maintaining, hydration status.
Yep.
So make sure that you're drinking a lot. And if that's happening, just drink. I would drink maybe a little bit more.
Yeah. Especially when you change your eating habits and the hydration is really extremely important at that point. Okay.
And congratulations on the weight loss,
Celebrate.
Yeah.
And loving
the first.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, Kathy says, just wondering if I need to be curious about a site on my middle finger that was poked and is swollen, irritated, and hard for about 5 days now. Do these needles ever break off? Is this normal? Do I need to address it with an MD?
Well, since I probably have more experience with needles, we've never had one break off. Doesn't mean they can't. But we've never, in a couple of years, and we've gone through a lot of needles, it just hasn't happened. And I would try soaking the finger in warm salt water.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Salt.
Is this normal to have this occur?
We've never had anything like this happen. But, did Kathy just hit a sore spot on the finger? Was she always taking, the blood from that spot? We've never had a spot like that.
Okay. And let's see here. Is it expected that I would still be jumping more than 20 points at this stage, from around 64 to 106 or so, about 45 minutes after a meal, then it goes back down? My thought here again is, without knowing what you're eating, and so many other aspects around it, how are you eating? Are you eating in a relaxed manner? Are you chewing your food? Or what foods are you eating? Did you test these foods beforehand to find out how they affect you? You are staying below 110, so that's a great thing to see, but it is quite a jump, as you mentioned.
And also, how do you feel when you're at 64? Some people are feeling okay. Are you feeling jittery, or you are feeling weak or lack of energy? And also, if 64, around the 60s or 70, is that your base?
Right. That's exactly what I was like. Okay, is that first thing in the morning? Is that right before the meal? Mm-hmm. When is the 106? Is that an hour after the – oh, she says 45 minutes after a meal.
45 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Let me see, 64, that would be a 45 point. That's a bigger, yeah.
Yeah.
And 45 point split.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, or like, is it because you haven't ate for a few hours? Like, how many hours between meals? Is it always at 64, or, you know, just certain situations, if you wait like 4 hours, 5 hours, or that, those would be good data to collect.
Yep. Questions with more questions. Jenny was wondering, I have bought supplements that I now forget why. Join the club. Is lecithin and or red maca a good addition to my new strategy? Well, not knowing what your strategy is, besides keeping low blood sugar, they both are good supplements.
I mean, lecithin, if it's a sunflower lecithin, it's good for the brain health. It's good. And so it's, you know, because lecithin is very important as well for the cell membrane. And maca is an adaptogen, and that helps us for our, you know, stress resilience and our recovery. So
exactly. Yeah, with the lecithin, try to make sure it's organic and or GMO free. It's hard to find those, but yeah.
Yeah, it's Susan. I think those are two very good supplements to take.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or exactly the that Lisa cited. I mean, a lot of us who have blood sugar dysregulation have some kind of adrenal issue as well, and the maca really helps with that. And the sunflower lecithin, you know, I don't go without it now. I know what I felt like when I didn't know about it, and as soon as I understood from an organic acid test that I was deficient in my B6, I started taking the sunflower lecithin.
Great.
Hey, Lynn, it's Annette. On the maca, it'll work for me to a point, and then I start getting, like, jittery and anxious, so I know that it's either time to cut back my dose or to stop it for a while. Just wanted to throw that out there.
Well, yeah, actually, Annette, you make a really good point. I mean, with anything, with supplements, especially with adaptogens, I always say, you know, 2 months on, 2 weeks off, or less. I mean, because you can get jittery, and you do need to give your body a break from them.
That again just brings up that point we were talking about earlier with rotation and tracking, yeah, and just paying attention to the messages your body is saying, because every time you take something into your body, it is changing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Lisa was saying earlier with the SIBO diet, it is, those foods are not something you were meant to live on for a really long time. That is short term. Pay attention to what your body is saying. And Allison said, I sometimes have the same issue as Kathy, quite low and steady, that can go up 3 to 40 points after food. I think there are probably still some ingredients I need to test. Very good point, Allison. Darlene says, my first morning blood sugars are very high, in the 130s or 140s. I was told this is usually indicative. It goes down every time somebody types in, so I have to go back up here. I was told this is usually indicative of a clogged and sluggish liver. Should I be following a liver detox protocol that would be in compliance with Sweet Spot?
She's written a little bit more underneath that, too.
Ah, yes. I have recently been waking up very anxious. I'm losing weight. She has a smiley face, so that's good. But could anxiety be from toxins my body's letting go of with weight loss?
It's Susan. I would say that what you're doing in the Sweet Spot is addressing your liver. It's not specifically addressing your liver, but it's definitely going to be a byproduct of your doing. Mm-hmm. So you're already doing that, and you know, it goes back to, you you know, when are you testing in the morning? How did you sleep the night before? Are you seeing any trending in your tracking? I would start there. The anxiety could definitely be the thing that is causing it to spike like that.
Yeah. And there may be some other, I call them buggers. There may be some other buggers in there that are contributing to the clogged and sluggish liver, creating that stress, which is why you wake up with those high blood sugars. You know, also knowing more about how she sleeps would be helpful to know as well. You know, and again, are you waking up with an alarm that you wake up that just jolts you up? That would make me anxious. That's why my alarm are birds singing.
Hey, Glenn, can I interject here? We've been asked a couple of times as coaches to keep saying our names when we speak because
okay.
People are still having a difficult time differentiating
sure.
us.
Thank you.
Sure.
This is Lynn. Christine says, can diabetes 1.5 be reversed before medication?
Well, diabetes, you mean diabetes type 2?
No, 1.5 is LADA. It's
yes.
Latent onset
yes.
diabetes.
Oh, late. Okay.
It's an autoimmune condition.
Oh. Exactly.
That's right.
So my thought is absolutely.
Yeah, this is Annette. I agree with Lynn. If you really change your diet and supplement and support your body, yeah, I absolutely believe it can be reversed.
Well, in general, this is Lisa. Diabetes or anything autoimmune, diet plays a big role in calming down the immune system. And there's very little that the medical side can do. So yes, absolutely. Diet and supplements and lifestyle changes and stress management would play a very big role in slowing down and reversing. Now you have to remember the autoimmune reaction is there. The immune system is already triggered. So it's a question of managing that and then keeping it at bay, basically.
It's Susan. And also I would say, if you need the medication for a little while until you get your antibodies calmed down by adjusting your diet, that's okay too. You know, it doesn't have to be one thing or the other. You could use the standard medical way as a temporary measure until you're able to get the immune system addressed.
Right. And Darlene did say, I just struggle with sleep at times. She was our person before. So we can go back and look at that after we're done with this question. Go ahead, Isabel. Sorry.
Yeah. So I also want to comment that with autoimmune, you would want to look at the gut, leaky gut, and possibly see if that is one of the triggers or where the toxins are coming in and firing up the immune system. So definitely looking at the gut, repairing, and make sure that, you know, the gut is it's sealed and nothing that's not supposed to get in the system, in the body, in the bloodstream gets in.
Right. Always going, you know, we're always these detectives going, oh, look at that. I wonder why. We're always kind of going, why? You know, your blood sugar's going up. Oh, I wonder why. You're feeling this in your digestion. I wonder why. And just seeing how it all goes. Let's see here. Let's go back to Darlene, because she said... she's waking up very anxious, and her sleep is not great, and melatonin leaves her feeling kind of drugged. So so I don't know. This is from the prior person who was asking about with her liver.
Right.
And so she had remarked further down in the chat about she does not sleep well.
Lynn, this is Annette. Sometimes when we, usually when we take products to support our adrenals, you know, we'll say take them earlier in the day so they don't interrupt with your sleep.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes taking an adrenal, and you have to play with it to see if it works. Sometimes taking an adrenal support at like dinner or closer to bedtime will help with that anxiety during the night, waking up that way.
Okay, can you repeat that one more time, please?
Sure. Okay, I know we're always taught when you do adrenal supports to take them in the morning or the afternoon, right? They'll take them past lunch because they can perk you up. But for some people, and I'm one of these people, for me, sometimes taking my adrenal support at dinner helps me get through the night without that anxiety in the morning. It kind of just smooths things out. Not everybody can do it later in the day, but that's something she might want to try, is taking adrenal supports later.
Okay. Thank you.
Susan, that's a really good point, Annette. The other thing that I would try is some magnesium lotion or magnesium oil before you go to bed, or a natural salt bath and some warm water. And also, you know, you can take other things like passion flower, magnolia, other herbs to help you sleep. If, you know, because melatonin can be very strong, and if you haven't tested to see whether you're low on melatonin, it's not the kind of thing that you want to play with.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I agree with what Susan said. And there are herbs, passion flower, as she said, or valerian and other. If you go to a health food shop, you can just ask them for herbs that promote sleep. And then having really good sleep hygiene is very important. I'm going to sleep at the same time, turning off all blue light, things like that.
Yeah, review the sleep module. Also, when you wake up in the morning, are you getting any of that early morning light on your face to help stimulate some of that? Okay, this is Lynn. Cheryl says, my fasting blood sugar is usually between 95 and 110. During the day, it does not get higher than 115. I spike around 15 minutes after eating, and it can dip down to 85 after an hour, then goes up again. I'm not sure what this means. So this is Lynn. These are just some of my ramblings as I read this. It depends upon what you're eating and the combination, because some foods can digest faster than others. And if you have a combination where that might be happening, that might be a contributory piece to it. So that's just one thing that came to mind. So it sounds like it's kind of a hypoglycemic reaction.
Lynn, I'm sorry, it's Susan. Could you repeat that?
Yeah, I would love to.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. So she says, my fasting blood sugar is usually between 95 and 110. During the day, it does not get higher than 115. I spike around 15 minutes after eating, and it can dip down to 85 after an hour, then goes up again. I'm not sure what this means. And so I was saying it, you know, it depends upon the foods and combinations, but that's just one thought.
Yeah.
This is Isabel. Yeah. And also, when it goes down, how long is it, you know, when it spikes up again, and what's the pattern?
Right.
Does it go down before eating again? And what type of activities was going on in between?
great point.
Yeah, I'm, sorry, Lisa, I'm making sure that your foods were balanced, that you had enough fats in, so maybe add some oil in, MCT oil or avocado, so that you don't get the lows. Sufficient protein or adequate protein and fat help keep the spikes and then the peaks and troughs, basically. So just make sure you have enough fats and proteins in your meal.
Great point. Let's see. Christina says, I'm holding an event in Honolulu on May 12th, and I would like to offer sweet spot solution to those attending. How can I best go about doing this? I'm a psychologist and trained culinary nutrition expert and nutritional therapist, also psychologist. Well, first, you can have us there. I've never been to Hawaii. But there is a place on drritamarie.com where you can sign up as an affiliate, and you'll be sent an email with login and all the instructions. So if you go to drritamarie.com, up on the top you'll see where it says to register as an affiliate. That would be my best suggestion. Cheryl says, I just bought a Rely On Prime. It seems to be inconsistently higher than my Rely On Ultima, which was just discontinued. It is anywhere from 3 to 20 points higher, testing at the same time. I think this is a huge inconsistency. Did Dr. Rita Marie test hers against her other more reliable meters? I know she tested a Rely On. I have to admit I don't remember if it was the Prime or the Ultra. Does anybody here have any experience with that one?
This is Annette. We used a Rely On. We actually used it as a backup meter, and ours was off by 8. Like 8 to 10, and it was consistently 8 to 10. So with the spread of 3 to 20, it just could be you got a bit of a bummer meter, because that happens. They're not, technically, they're not the greatest of machines, because, you know, I mean, even as a diabetic, the ones my daughter gets are not as accurate as labs.
Do any of you ever use the control solution? And Debbie said the same thing just as I did. So we must be on the same wavelength there.
Speaking for a diabetic, no.
Okay.
She does not use it.
Okay.
This is Isabel. I've used the control solution a couple times once in a while just to check the meter. And I used Contour now, but before it was it the true, what's it called, the true meter? That was a good one,
right? Yeah, it was the true to go. That was a good one.
True to go. Yeah, that was a good one. So yeah, that was really reliable. Now I use the Contour and the solution. Yeah, checking it with the solution is a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, some people think it's a good idea. Some people don't have much luck with it. But, you know, that is a wide variance. I would actually either go back to the store, contact the company, and ask either for a replacement or a refund. Thank you, Susan, for putting links up there. Elaine says, what is the best MCT to take and how much? I like the Bulletproof, the Brain Octane, and how much I vary it. I take it all the time.
Yeah, this is Annette. I just pour it. I don't measure. Sorry.
Yeah, thank you. I was like,
So this is Isabel. And I think Dr. Rita Marie recommended to start small, like a half a teaspoon to start with that and then work your way up.
Right. Absolutely.
This is Susan. I have a hard time with oils in plastic. Otherwise, I would buy the Bulletproof. So I found a brand called Apollo on Amazon that that's pretty good. It's in a bottle. I feel safe about that. And definitely start small, like half a teaspoon. Otherwise, you'll be running to the washroom every 5 minutes.
I was just going to say. Can you put that link in the chat?
Sure.
That would. I'm not aware of that, so that would be. I would like to see that too. Where am I here? Oh, thank you, Lisa, also for putting those in. Green is the new. I think your name is Lisa. Maybe it's Jennifer. I can't remember. Anyway. She says, regarding the blood type diet, was evaluated scientifically by John Robbins in his book, The Food Revolution. He overlaid Dr. Giamo's theories across Olympic-winning athletes across all blood types. It was a great analysis. So another great reason to read The Food Revolution. Emily liked Sun Warrior, but it took a while for her to get used to. Let's see. And there's the Thorn, Garden of Life. Yeah, rotating the protein powders. I have read that open label project. I will be honest. I am not convinced about some of what they have shared there. So I guess part of it comes from I've had many dealings, good dealings with Sun Warrior and their customer service and their all the people in there, and have found them very open to discussion. So when I've had a question about things like heavy metals, you know, they're responsible. They want to make sure that you guys get a product that is good for your body. So I encourage you, if you have questions about it, to ask them, because I'm sure they're very aware of this, this company and what their claims are. So that's just my thought on that. How about anybody else?
Well, I think it's, you know, the whole question, this is Lisa, of rotating your protein powders, and it would be very difficult, I think, in our toxic world not to come into contact with toxicants, heavy metals. And I mean, of course, we should try to, you know, avoid them as much as possible, but there are, you know, small amounts probably in a lot of things, and that goes back to, you know, doing detoxes or doing resets like this in order to help clear things out of the body.
Yep. And Emily says Mediclay helps to bind. Let's see, where'd she go? Mediclay helps bind for me. Just don't take close to medications. And that's a really great point. There are certain things that if they're going to flush out toxins, if you've taken any other supplements or medication, they're going to be flushed with them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and you make a great point here, Lisa. I think the heavy metals were connected with the rice protein. Let's see.
There was a lady earlier, I think it was Barbara, who mentioned, or somebody that mentioned going, having things move through too quickly. Then also think about activated charcoal.
Didn't
mention that.
Marcia says, comment about the protein first thing in the morning. Blood sugar levels can also rise in response to protein. I'm not sure if she's asking if that's what you said. I don't remember you saying that, but I don't, so I wasn't quite sure how she was asking.
No, I mean, this is Lisa again. If you don't eat, what's going to happen is the body is going to produce stress hormones, so adrenaline and cortisol, and that will dump sugar into your system. Protein doesn't raise blood sugar. Protein has an insulin response, so you can produce insulin in relation to protein, but it doesn't raise blood sugar appreciably. Carbohydrates raise blood sugar. Yeah.
This is Annette. I disagree with that. Too much protein in some people will raise blood sugar. So if you only need 3 ounces at that meal, but you eat 5 ounces, you're going to get a spike.
Yes, that's correct. There are some what they call gluconeogenic amino acids, so they will produce glucose from them. And because we don't store protein, what will happen is if you have too much protein than your body can use, then it can elicit a glucose response.
Right.
It's Susan. Yeah,
it depends.
Yeah.
It's right. It depends, and everything in moderation, right?
Yeah. But generally speaking, protein has the effect of not increasing blood sugar levels. I mean, we can overdo the protein, so it's important, exactly what Susan just said, everything in moderation.
And in moderation to your particular body.
Yeah.
Cheryl said that adding Himalayan and Celtic salt to her water helped her leg cramps tremendously, which is great. Tracy said, can you please advise on a vitamin E brand, oil-based, the one she was taking is soy-based, Famil E. I know for myself, the ones I've taken in the past, and I'm not taking them now, but they were a wheat germ. And so I was concerned about gluten, and maybe I shouldn't be, but do any of you have a vitamin E brand that you take?
Lisa, I put a link in there for Seeking Health. It's a good brand.
Ah, so you did. Thank you.
Yeah.
I put one in there as well.
Okay. Thank you. Ingrid says, I am 5'6 and weigh 140 pounds. My blood sugar has been mostly below 100 with occasional 110. How do I know when I'm ready to transition? Excellent question. So after we're done with the 30-day metabolic reset, there is a document, you may have already seen it, called Transition. I encourage you to read through that. And like it says, if you've had consistent 3 weeks being below 110, and there's information in there about with the supplements and so forth, and Dr. Rita Marie, when she is back, will be doing one of her calls explaining this, then you'll be ready to transition, go through the transition phase. But you want to make sure you go through the complete 30-day metabolic. Debbie says, I start to feel fatigued around 2 to 4 p.m. every day. Any suggestions about what to
do? Well, this is Lisa. I would have a snack then, or a green juice or a green smoothie then, for the energy low point. And also make sure your previous meal had enough fat in it.
This is, and I remember this from when many years ago when we did live versions of the adrenal fatigue program, how you start the day says so much more about how you're going to end your day and those in-between times. So make sure you're starting your day with those self-care pieces. It may be that you need to have the green smoothies with the protein powder and having that in place. And then as Lisa said, there's the snack attack piece, making sure you're staying hydrated. Maybe you need to get up and move for a little bit. but I would look for the snack attack in the menu planner.
That's a good time to do a burst.
Lisa, it's a good time to do a burst, or but make sure you choose snacks that are sweet spot friendly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And there's a whole section in there on that. So definitely use that. Let's see here. I feel like I lost something. Oh, that was okay. The replay of the bonus call should be, and again, I'll make a note to ask our program manager, but it should be in your call recording area, or it might be in your with your bonus tab. Tracy says, Lisa, can you advise on B12, please? And I see that you commented, but for those listening to the recording, the B12 from Seeking Health is good. They have hydroxyurdenocobalamin B12. There is a good company in England if people live over there. It's called Metabolics, and they have a good pure B12, and they do all of the different forms of it.
Yeah. And this is Lisa again. PERK. PERK has a really good B12 sublingual.
Okay.
Lozenge, yeah.
Great. Green is the new, says Rice Bran. Oh, sorry.
No, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say Green is the new, says Rice Bran Essence is very high in natural tocotrienols. And again, just make sure it doesn't raise your blood sugar or you're not sensitive to it. Inulin is another great addition from Tracy. Tracy must live in Canada because she says, I love AOR.ca, especially the advanced B complex. We have thank yous for stating our name. Noreen says, I just found out that high morning glucose can be due to a fatty non-alcoholic liver. I just got my lab results and were perfect according to the doctor. Fasting blood sugar is 92 and fructosamine is in the middle of normal. So I don't know if there is a question in there, but nothing is ever just one thing. The condition of your liver will definitely play a role in your blood sugar.
Lisa, I mean, non-alcoholic fatty liver is a syndrome, and it's part of, can also be part of metabolic syndrome, but usually your liver enzymes will be elevated. So on a blood test, GGT will be elevated, or ALT or AST will be elevated. And so when somebody said they think they have it, I mean, on what basis? I mean, we can always support the liver. I mean, that's always a good thing to do. It's good to know, your labs first, but before thinking that you have, you know, fatty liver. If you're overweight or if you have metabolic syndrome, it can very well be that there is some degree of fatty liver going on. But as I said, the liver enzymes are usually elevated then. And they don't have to be high. I mean, they could just be above optimal.
Right. And that's the key word there, right? Optimal. Because according to her doctor, her labs were perfect. But lab results and optimal results are not always the same thing.
And in this particular
case, actually, that fasting blood sugar is actually just a tiny bit high, isn't it, at 92?
Yeah, and in this case, we would look at other markers as well, because the metabolic syndrome would be many things. You'd look at your triglyceride levels, you look at your lipid levels in general, your blood glucose, your HbA1c, your fructosamine. So there's several others. We'd look at a pattern and never looking at just one marker, even if it's just glucose, before thinking about fatty liver.
Right. And that's Lisa who's talking. If
thank you.
Because somebody had said, who's giving all this great information? Green is the New says, Darlene, I have had success with different things, HTP, tryptophan, and herbs. Wish Garden has a great liquid tincture of herbs only for sleep. And Tracy is talking about bio superfood, a microalgae. So again, Noreen says, what is good for fatty liver? Because I'm having high morning blood sugar and it goes to 90s as the day goes on. And then you said, why do you think you have fatty liver?
Yeah. Well, and then Noreen just asked again. Yeah. This is Lisa again. I would just say she was asking again what to do, and she had liver enzymes, I think, that were slightly elevated. Weight loss is important, or I don't know what your weight is. So that's important, is achieving your ideal weight. And, of course, keeping your blood sugar balanced. That's the place you need to start. And from there, you need to then, liver support foods, which would be all the greens. So all those foods are in this program. And then, of course, the cruciferous vegetables, all the broccoli, cauliflower, things like that.
And review the gut bundle, because it's mentioned in there some of the great herbs that can be helpful for your liver, such as milk thistle. Darlene says, what adrenal support? I don't know if she's saying what is adrenal, what can we offer as ideas for adrenal support.
Lynn, later on. Other than that, this is Annette. I gave her some adrenal support, like the maca and licorice, ashwagandha.
Okay.
So I'll list some farther down.
Great. You know, and for adrenal support, too, some vitamin C is helpful, including salt, being gentle with your exercise. Debbie says, taking the amino acid taurine helped my anxiety big time. Also with magnesium glycinate was helpful.
This is Isabel. So with the adrenal support, sleep. My sleep is super important, having enough sleep. And the stress level, the heart math, the mini vacations, breathing. That's super important, too.
Great. Lots of great you guys are doing. I mean, the coaches, but as well as the participants, I love seeing all the support you're giving each other with ideas. That's what makes this program so great. Green is the New says, what could be some methods of action when liquid trace minerals takes blood sugar from 85-ish fasting to 126. Same thing happens with other iodine liquid minerals in water.
This is Annette. I mean, how much of the liquid mineral is going into, and I assume it's in water, maybe trying a lower amount would not spike.
Okay. And further down, she says, I'm still really struggling with trying to see how supplements spike me, having difficulty keeping within ranges since April 1st. Oops. Where did she go? We'll be continuing a long time before trying to transition, trying hard to reverse chronic exhaustion due to heavy metals just as background. And Debbie says, I was told by a naturopath to eat a high-protein breakfast to keep blood sugar stable throughout the day. For some people, that is essential. It depends. Christina says, thank you for answering my question about bringing others on board with the sweet spot solution. How often is the program offered. Should people join on the first of the month, say June 1st, you can join anytime. As soon as you join, you start the program. We don't always do it live like this, but when you join the program, you will get at least monthly opportunities to call and talk to Dr. Rita Marie. Christy says, I tried to do a burst before lunch today. Is it okay if that makes my blood sugar to peak at 144? Then I took a shower and rested a little, and it went down to 108.
Lynn,
are you guys still there?
You know, it sounds like the burst, you know, depends on how long she did it and what she did, but it sounds like it might have been too much for her body at the time.
Right. That is what I was thinking. And if you have any type of adrenal fatigue, mm-hmm. Like you said, if you do too much too long, it can do that. Tracy says, I would like to add, anyone with thyroid issues, start on Iodoral. It works wonders. And again, you know, it depends. Before you do anything with iodine, you should really know what your iodine levels are.
Yeah. It's Susan. I'd recommend a urine.
Yeah. An iodine loading test, yeah. Sue says, I too am having loose bowels just this past week. I've been fine up until now. So again, that goes to, you know, what are you eating? What other habits have you changed? When we change things, our body will react. And it may do loose bowels because it needs to release something. Noreen says, thank you. Follow the program for fatty liver. Gut bundle is where? So the gut bundle you'll find as you hover your cursor over the bonus and resource tab. Tracy says, anyone use IC1? It's the letter I, the letter C, and the number 1. Caledonium for any liver issues. I have not used that. Sue says, I have chia porridge almost every morning, rarely with any fruit, which would be a few blueberries. So she must have said something. Oh, with her loose bowels.
Lynn, Susan, like you said, it depends. But Lisa mentioned activated charcoal earlier. That
yep.
is something that might help with the loose stools. And it will certainly pull out anything that might be irritating her digestive system.
Exactly. Yeah, any of those types of binders. Yeah.
But to make sure she spaces it between meals by 3 hours.
She also says also avocado almost every day, green smoothies, have a variety of greens, and been eating a variety of cooked veggies too. So maybe stay away from vegetable juicing. That could very well be. Maybe what if with your chia porridge, what if you soak it in the vegetable juice?
Mm.
And green is the new, I think she's talking about her trace minerals, starting with very few drops of minerals, less than 8 to 10 drops. And Annette's is maybe a different brand. And yes, this call is recorded. You can, as soon as we're done, you can go back to the same link that was in your email and listen to it again. Green is the new says, can you touch on method of action of why minerals might spike? I mentioned I've tried at least two different brands. Probiotic cultures also spike me. I'm wondering if these may be related. Other than lowering dose of minerals, can you please describe some potential action? I mean, method of action in the body, weigh the minerals. Thanks all in advance.
Well, the only thing that I can think of, as with Lisa, is that you're having a sensitivity to the whatever you're having. So maybe try something else.
Making sure your body needs those particular minerals is important. Yeah. So if you have a way to do like the body bio where you can test to make sure, but make sure that's your that your body needs it. That's why I was like, why does this sound so familiar? Chelidonium is milk thistle. Duh.
Yeah.
I'm like, getting close to the end of the call. I'm like, huh, what? And, yeah, Debbie says Sue might be sensitive to some food she eats, and that's a very good point. So again, have you go back and test each of the individual things. And this is a point you'll hear Dr. Rita Marie say this as well. You know, before the 30-day metabolic reset, you tested to see what your body, how it reacted. And so you've been taking supplements, probably changing the food you eat. Your body is changing. And so other things may come up. So just because, you know, you hear people say, well, I don't understand. I've always eaten it. But things are different now. So just keep changing. You know, and if you do test yourself again, Sue, and find that you do okay with it, I have occasionally soaked my chia in a vegetable juice and like a green juice and consumed it that way. It's actually very tasty with some type of, I put pumpkin seed yogurt on mine. And Tracy says, this is such a beautiful chat call, so relaxing. Thank you. And perhaps sauerkraut, yeah. If she makes her own sauerkraut, this is Sue. That could be helpful. And Debbie says, as long as you don't have histamine issues. So Sue says, give an example of a histamine issue. Do any of you want to address that?
Well, you might, this is Lisa, you might get a red flush in your face, some kind of a reaction.
It's Susan, you might have a skin rash.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, this isn't that. It's
Go ahead. No, you go.
I was just going to say it's going to be basically anything that presents like an allergic reaction, whatever that is to you, you know, a congestion, a rash, whatever.
Right. It's an inflammatory issue. So,
yeah.
You know, some people's throats close up. That's a histamine issue.
Right.
And Debbie says we should rotate foods every 3 to 4 days or we become sensitive to them. That's exactly what we're saying. So sometimes I hear or see people say, well, every morning I have the same smoothie. And so, again, you can have a template for a smoothie, but rotate the ingredients in there so you don't become sensitive to them. And Green is the new says, I agree, Tracy, such a nice, relaxing flow and pace, so informative, with many different points of view to assist. Thank you, coaches. And Darlene says, to Green, oh, that must be to Green is the new. Sometimes fillers and capsules, such as rice flour. I've also had blood sugar spikes after probiotics. So that's a great point. Read your ingredient list. Ingrid says, as we eat a lot of blueberries in Sweden, this is common knowledge here, but may be new to others, raw blueberries will contribute to loose stools, whereas cooked blueberries contribute to constipation. So you eat raw blueberries if you are constipated, and blueberry soup for diarrhea. I would also add, because I live in a northern state where blueberries are common, it also depends upon the kind. If you're eating a wild blueberry versus a conventional, like if you go to the store and buy it, that's going to have a different reaction within you as well. So that's why organic is so important there. Marcia says, I eat the same breakfast every day and the same foods. I tried food rotation, but there aren't enough things for me to rotate on the reset. Again, Green is the new is saying, what is the method of action when probiotics cause spikes? My feeling on that is it depends upon which probiotics. Are these the probiotics your body needs? If you're giving your body a probiotic that contains those strains that your body doesn't need, it creates kind of a war within, because they don't play together well, and so that can create that stress within your body. So that's my initial thought.
This is Lisa. I mean, usually, in the usual case, probiotics help normalize blood glucose levels. But I would suspect there's something in that probiotic that is not agreeing with you, or if there's a prebiotic in there, something, because, for example, mm-hmm. some people with SIBO cannot tolerate a lot of probiotics, and it's because of the not just the strains of the bacteria themselves, but what is in there. So if there's food for the bacteria, things like that, and so perhaps that is causing some kind of sugar dysregulation.
Great, yeah, that's a good point. Tracy says, I have lost one stone on the metabolic reset and feel great. My doctor said, wow, she wants to know Dr. Rita Marie. Well, we want more doctors to know Dr. Rita Marie. And so, again, send her or him to drritamarie.com. And so it says, now 8.2 stone, full of energy. Thank you.
Well, congratulations, Tracy.
Yeah. Okay, let's. I'm going to finish up with the Q&A because we are, I would like to finish in about 10 minutes because then we'll be at the 2-hour mark. And I know a lot of people, including the coaches, especially Lisa over in Switzerland, it's very late there for her. And so let's see. Marlene says, should cassava and coconut grain-free tortillas be safe for my blood sugar? The package says 2 grams of sugar for 2 tortillas. So cassava is a starchy it's a starchy food, so it could raise your blood sugar. If you want to get it and try it, but again, on the metabolic reset, we really don't want people adding new things. This is the time for your system to rest with the food that it knows is going to be below 110. So if you can hold off for, you know, another week or so, that would be great. But that's my thought. Vera says, in her foods to avoid and foods to include for blood sugar balance module, Dr. Rita Marie says potatoes, yams, squash boiled and refrigerated for 24 hours or more may be included if your blood sugar stays below 110. How does refrigeration affect the glycemic index in cooked foods? Either one of you want to chime in there?
I was typing in the chat. I didn't hear the question.
I'm so so know what you mean because that happens to me all the time. In her Foods to Avoid and Foods to Include for Blood Sugar Balance module, Dr. Rita Marie says potatoes, yams, squash, and squash boiled and refrigerated for 24 hours or more may be included if the blood sugar stays below 110. How does refrigeration affect the glycemic index in cooked foods?
Yeah, this is Lisa. It becomes something called resistant starch, and that then slows down the release of sugar. That's about the only time if you're stable and you want to introduce these foods, that's about the best way to have them is to cook them, cool them, and have them cold.
Right. But again, make sure it stays below 110.
Yeah.
Marlene says, I have lost confidence in using my Bayer Contour glucometer because I have gotten 3 different results at the same time during multiple attempts. This makes me want to give up on the whole program with not good testing process. I have ordered the very newest prick-free Freestyle Libre, which requires you to wear a button for 10 days, which adheres to the skin, but haven't tried yet. Is there a glucometer that is available that you and Dr. Rita Marie trust besides her favorite, which is no longer available?
This is Annette. You know, none of the glucometers are perfect. It's just, you know, and what we've been taught from the endocrinologist is if you do 3 right in a row and they're all different, usually if you average them, you'll get about what your blood sugar is.
And she doesn't say on here, she just says she got 3 different results. She doesn't say the point difference. So that is something, you know, we don't know what
right.
your point difference is there. So if this is your very first glucose meter, again, you may want to try the control solution to see if that tells you anything. You may also want to contact where you bought it from and tell them what's going on. They may either give you a new one or possibly give you a refund. I use the, not the Libre, but I use a free. So that's the only thing I have experience with. And then Vera says, any recommendations for a good vitamin C formula? Also an adrenal formula brand. As far as vitamin C, the liposomal are good. So like there's Livon, L-I-V-O-N is good. I believe Seeking Health has one that's also good. Thorne has some good adrenal formulas. Thorne is T-H-O-R-N-E. So those are the things that come right off the top of my head. I don't know if either of you two have any ideas there.
For vitamin C?
For vitamin C or any adrenal support.
So this is Lisa. I mean, vitamin C is one of the most important supplements that I personally take, and I move around between liposomal brands. So Seeking Health has a good liposomal, and then I also like the buffered vitamin C from Perk, or also from Seeking Health, and also Thorne has a buffered
yep.
one. They're powdered ones. You can get the dosage quite high. And it's just a matter of taste and cost. And in terms of the adrenals, well, you know, Lynn mentioned before vitamin C is important, the B vitamins are important, especially B5. Of course, magnesium is important, but the adaptogens are really good things to think about. So maca, ashwagandha, rhodiola would be ones. Licorice I wouldn't do if you have high blood pressure, or without doing a test to see what your cortisol is, because it has a cortisol-raising effect, So if you already have high cortisol, I wouldn't, you know, so you need to have it, you need to do that in conjunction with the test. But rhodiola, ashwagandha, and maca are pretty, are okay, are safe. Or ginseng, Siberian ginseng, any of those or a combination of those. And then I would add in some kind of liver support, just to, like something like milk thistle, all in tincture form. I prefer tinctures. I mean, it depends what you prefer, but I usually prefer tinctures.
Yep. And as Debbie said, the B vitamins are important, especially B5.
Yeah.
And Green is the New was asking about you. Lisa does reply on the Facebook page, so you can look for her on there as well. And we're talking, you know, one thing that came up here about fermented foods, you know, if you want a particular, like a bifidobacteria, to be propagated in any fermented food you make, then use that. Otherwise, like was mentioned here, you're going to get a wild strain, and that may not be what is best for you. So that's, again, knowing what your body needs is important. Green is the New says, great adrenal support. She likes Mercola vitamin C, innate adrenal formula, Pure Essence Labs, Mega Foods. I use nettles for everything, but they grow wild around here, so, yeah. Tracy also says, vitamin C buffered by allergy research in powdered form. And that is the point when you use gelatin capsules, you're not sure. When you use any capsules or tablets, you're not sure what excipients, so look at that. And I know what it is, Lisa, what her real name is.
Okay.
Communication.
Okay.
Via Facebook. All right. So I'm just going to see here something. All right. I am going to stop there. We will make sure that the chat is captured. And I know that both Isabel and Susan had to leave because they have other calls, and actually so do I. And I know you need to leave because it is your bedtime. And I appreciate you sacrificing some of your sleep hygiene to be with us.
Oh,
so
my pleasure.
I hope this is all. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say thank you for all the people who attended the call, and thank you for all the great questions. It's wonderful to have such an engaged group.
Yeah, very intelligent and smart.
Yeah.
That keeps me on my toes. All right. Okay, well, again, thank you, and everybody enjoy the rest of your day. I know it's Thursday, almost Friday for some people. Enjoy your weekend. Have fun. Keep breathing and stay as relaxed as you can. And we'll see you on the Facebook group.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.